This episode of the Coastal Noise Podcast is brought to you by the Mississippi Juke Joint in Ocean Springs. Today on the show, we have Roscoe Bandana's Jason Sanford and Emily Scholes, and we had a great conversation that we just wrapped up on here. Talk about all kinds of cool little news articles and what they've been doing in their musical careers. If you want to hear more podcasts, you can go to CoastalNoise.com, go to the podcast page, and stream it or download it to your computer or your smartphone, anything like that. We recently did podcasts with Crest Live's Nick Quave and Chase Taylor and country singer-songwriter Leonard Bentz. And if you go to the music page, you can see the dates for the D'Iberville Crawfish Festival, which is going to start on May 10th. That's Saturday. And me and Danielle Lynn will be performing right around 1 o'clock. So we'd like to encourage everybody to come out and support a good cause. It's for a charity event. And there you have it. We'll go ahead and get started with the episode. This is Coastal Noise Podcast, episode 31. Enjoy.
Being in the studio is that, you know, it's, I don't know, it's just cool to hear yourself in headphones.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah. The magic of radio. You can definitely feel it with this kind of thing, too.
Uh-huh.
Distraction-free stuff.
Yeah.
You know, having the internet right here and using it only to, like, look up information to kind of, like, progress the conversation.
Or right.
Cat videos. Those are important, too.
Very important.
So, you got to have a good, healthy balance.
Absolutely. Makes me want to talk like this.
Get in your
makes
deep
me
tone.
Want to get sultry.
Very nice. With us being sick right now, it's kind of easy.
Yeah. Well, this weather isn't helping out any, sure. It was way worse than I actually realized. I read last night that, the pollen, for sure. Four tornadoes in Cumberland, Craven, Jones, Edgecombe, and
speaking of that,
counties of North Carolina, and reported funnels all over Mississippi and Florida. One guy apparently drowned in a flood in Florida yesterday.
I don't know this is some pictures that I took on Sunday. And you can scroll to the right, I believe. And
whoa.
Yeah, check it out. Keep on scrolling and see how many of those suckers you can find. But those are HAARP generated. And they're pulsating the storm.
That is interesting.
And I was up at 12 o'clock at night, and I was like, I wonder how this storm's looking, you know?
That's nice.
And you see them all?
Yeah. What I'm looking at right now is a bunch of pictures of, like, Mississippi and Alabama, and there's a bunch of, weird circular openings in the weather patterns. And in the middle, right smack in the middle of a lot of them, there's a little substorm, like what an eye would be. It looks like a real eye, but instead of the eye being calm, there's like a little tiny storm. Uh-huh. Can you imagine being the people that were in that little little spot?
Yeah. I've heard 12 people died from tornadoes in Mississippi.
I heard like 37.
Oh, yeah. The count is huge.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I guess I was late.
Did you know a tornado watch has spread to almost a quarter of the U.S. last night?
What?
Yeah.
See, that's just ridiculous, man.
And the Weather Channel said 75 million people were at risk for severe weather.
That's amazing. I mean,
that's
crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's absurd. But to see those little circles on the radar, and I was just like, what? I was like, this doesn't make any sense. There's absolutely no way that a natural weather pattern can make that. It's a perfect circle. You know? So, I don't know. Thought I'd show you that. That's a whole
other ball. Are you sure it's perfect?
Well.
Did anybody go out and measure those?
It looks pretty perfect.
It's a whole other jar of gumballs.
Mobile got 8.9 inches of rain yesterday, and it was one of the wettest days they've had in over 140 years.
That's insane.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of strange.
More than 50 tornadoes on Monday. Is it global warming? Is that what this is?
It can be. You can call it whatever you want to, I guess.
It's the man.
You know?
Government's responsible. Well, another thing that if global warming is true, there's maybe another factor on the table. NASA's been watching this giant glacier that's the size of Chicago that's breaking off the Antarctica right now. It's called B-13.
Yeah.
And 255 square miles and 500 meters thick. And it could increase the water levels by up to like 1.5 meters.
That's insane.
So. Yeah.
Well, I guess we better start.
I'm kind of glad NASA's doing something still, you know?
Right, right.
Like, I feel like they got laid off or something, which is not a pleasant thing to think about.
No.
If our space teams are getting laid off, like, what does that say for us?
Why do you think it's the size of Chicago? Do you think we should look at the political figures in Chicago? Do you think it's something?
Some kind of connection there. I see
Did anybody go out and measure that one either? We're just all making assumptions here.
Right.
The biggest one ever, though, biggest iceberg ever was B-15. They get real creative.
With the names.
It was 4,250 square miles. It was almost the size of Jamaica. And it broke off of the Antarctica in March of 2000.
What happened when it broke off?
I tried to catch a leaf. I failed miserably. What happened? Probably not shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some fish had to evolve and swam to different parts of, I don't know.
Got really cold here.
I think I'll move.
This is what the scientists
have been warning us for years.
Yeah.
This is global warming. Fish move around. As if they didn't already do that already.
Right.
Well, I've got some music-related news articles, if you guys be interested in hearing some of that.
Yes.
Did y'all hear the Biloxi Skate Park is going to become a sound studio?
What? Yeah. No.
They're shutting it down, and they're going to make a
It's sad
studio.
That they're shutting it down, but, I mean, on the music front, that could be good.
Yeah, for films and all that stuff.
For films.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. Could be music and films and all that.
Do you know who's heading that up?
I've been looking, trying to figure out who it is, but... What?
I'm going to burn a thing tonight.
Son, you don't want to know. I don't know, man. I'm just a customer. I don't have the matches.
Do you know him?
No clue who that is.
That's awesome.
You going to burn anything tonight?
Y'all going to burn anything tonight? That's like one of those moments in life where it's just like, wish I could put it in a bottle and watch it later.
Save it, yeah.
Well, guess what? Bam, there it is.
Oh,
it's recorded, yeah. We've got it forever.
So, good deal.
Where are the roller derby girls going to go?
Good question. They were the ones, I read the article in the Sun Herald, and they were... the ones who are probably least happy about it.
Yeah, I imagine so.
That's a big deal.
I mean, is that their practice place, right? Or is that where they held it?
I think it was their practice place.
Okay.
But, I mean, where else would they hold it, though? So it's probably both, right?
Probably both.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah. It's kind of like if you don't give outlets to kids who are trying to express themselves creatively, they'll go out and do drugs and commit crimes. What are the roller derby girls going to do?
That's scary.
You thought the severe weather was bad for us these past couple days? Whew.
Oh, man.
Well, look out.
Just
roller
wait.
Derby girls on strike. They're scary.
Here's one article I've been following for a couple months. Have y'all been following Neil Young's Pono Player?
No.
Oh my God. Let me tell you. Neil Young is making this little, it's like an MP3 device. And he's calling it the Pono Player. Pono is Hawaiian for awesome. And he's making a digital music player that is going to be the highest quality of sound output. Way better than MP3, of course. But supposed to be better than CD. And may be on par with vinyl or surpass vinyl, all this kind of stuff. So, and he's been promoting it for, I've started following this back, it seems like almost a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he put it up on Kickstarter and tried to raise $800,000 to take it off. Well, he beat that in the first day. And then he still had a couple months to go on it. So It just ended recently, and he raised $6.2 million for the Pono player, the third biggest in Kickstarter history.
Okay,
holy
Neil.
Cow.
Look at him go.
Good job, Neil. Yeah.
Very proud of our boy, Neil.
Yes.
It delivers sound in 24-bit and 192 kilohertz, and it's going to run about $400, which is about the same as an iPod Touch. And yeah. Pono albums from the website is going to be about $15 to $25. And
so is that a different type of recording? Are they recording it differently?
I don't know. They said it's the same quality as what you're going to get in a major studio, like when they record.
Right. So what's the difference? Is it just... Is there different frequencies it's picking up?
I guess it's just... I would hope it's just zero compression, you know? Like, you get an MP3 format, and it's down here in compression.
Right.
You know, CD and all this stuff. But I don't know. I don't even know what the MP3 or CD sound standard is. Like,
right.
You know, this one, 24-bit, 192 kilohertz. I don't know what that is. I'm just saying numbers that people told me about. So
sounds legit.
Sounds accurate.
Yes.
Once again, we're measuring nothing. You think we can measure audio stuff? We can't even measure physical stuff.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, storms and glaciers are pretty big, but...
Right.
But he said most major record companies are on board with it, so they're going to start producing for, you know, for that, that format.
And it must be really awesome.
Yeah, that's huge.
It's
that's
Pono.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
I'm going to start using it.
If you signed up beforehand, like if you made a contribution, it like you could have gotten like $100 off the first order of them.
Nice.
And I tried to go on there, but they were already like... Like, people were so supportive of it. It just, like, filled up so quickly.
Yeah, I guess it helped that he was Neil Young, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's got, like, if you go to the website that he has a video, and it's, like, 10 minutes long of, like, 5 and 10 second clips of, like, every artist, it seems like. There was Jack Johnson, Rick Rubin, Flea, the Beastie Boys, Sting, Tom Petty, Mumford & Sons. I mean, just on and on. And it's all them for the first time after they hear... the Pono player, whether it's in their car or on headphones and all this, it's their first reaction to it.
Wow.
And all of them are like, this is fantastic.
That's awesome.
You know? So
that's beautiful.
I'm super stoked about it.
I wonder if we do a Neil Young cover, I wonder if we sent him a cover that he would take mercy on us and send us a
do a little discount.
Yeah, do a little trade.
You better hurry up, because I'm sure tons of musicians are wondering the same thing right now.
We're just a little old man from Mississippi. Take mercy on us.
Got us some slack.
Yeah. You're not too busy, right?
No.
I read some of your book.
I heard his book's pretty good.
What is it?
Horse? Crazy? Mm-hmm. No. Crazy Horse?
Crazy Horse? I think that's what it's called. I don't want to say that. I don't want to mark that.
Yeah. I was about to say Crazy Heart, but that's the movie with the dude.
With that chick.
Yeah, what's his
name? That tree, isn't it, somewhere?
I always get disappointed when I forget the dude. Jeff Bridges.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
My dad really likes his book.
The Neil Young one?
The Neil Young book, yeah.
Neato.
Not the Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges needs a book, though.
I don't know if he has a book.
I hope he does. I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out with a quickness. Speaking of quickness, Jack White recently recorded the fastest recorded record ever.
Wow.
White recorded a live performance, pressed it to vinyl, and had it available in store in under 4 hours.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
When was that?
This was on the 19th. He took the stage with his band at 10 a.m., and at Third Man Records in Nashville, and played a track from his upcoming solo album, as well as a B-side cover of Elvis Presley's Power of Love, which totally sounds like a Hendrix song.
Yeah.
Both songs were cut, and the masters were sent to the United Record Pressing to make 45s with picks from the performance, and the event broke the Guinness World Record formerly set by Swiss polka trio Volgas Kompany, who issued their album live on August 16th, in 2008, and the day after they recorded it, they released it.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Pretty cool, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love me some Jack White.
Jack White is such a cool kid.
I know. I would like to see his Third Man Records in Nashville. Y'all were talking earlier about going up to Nashville to record y'all's next album.
Yeah.
You guys should definitely check it out. I hear there's a giant bear in there. Not a live one, but still.
Yeah.
Still, yeah.
Yeah.
That's inspiration.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see what Jack gets in terms of more artists, because he had C6 Steve that he did an album with, and I think C6 Steve's just awesome. I mean, dude was a hobo by the age of 14 and has traveled around to like more countries than anywhere playing on guitars. Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's fantastic. He's like 68 or something now, and he's just been a traveling wanderer his whole life, playing on guitars that he makes himself out of, like, you know, hubcaps, cans of corn, and strings, and you know, play slide and all this kind of stuff. And you know, sometimes his strings are just like he's got three strings on his guitar. And he just recently, it was just like 5 years ago, I want to say, that he went on to a European radio, or not a radio, but a European TV show or something like that, and played a song called the Doghouse Blues or something like that, and then he just exploded, and then everybody, now he plays with Jack White and John Paul Jones, and you know, just tons of people, you know, have tried to get at him, because his first I think it's something Doghouse, I'd have to look up the name again, but he recorded it all in his kitchen with his son, you know, on A-Track or whatever it is, some sort of, you know, tape.
That's
and
cool.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
I love it.
Cool.
I was paying it back to forth for weeks.
That's awesome.
Definitely check him out. He's really cool.
What was his name again?
C6 Steve.
C6 Steve. I like the alliteration.
Yeah.
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 That's cool.
And his, I mean, you know, I've watched, you know, tons of videos, interviews with him and stuff like that, and he's just the most down-to-earth, chill dude, hilarious, just a funny guy, just very interesting.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Super cool.
And he's always trying to get sponsorships from John Deere. He just wants a John Deere tractor. That's
that is
all.
Awesome. I mean, really, that's all Roscoe's ever wanted, too, John Deere sponsorship. I just want to slap a John Deere sticker on the side of our trailer.
I think we actually might have one.
Do we?
I think so.
Yeah, we've developed quite a plethora of stickers. On
yeah, you know, one day, I mean, that's my main goal, is to just have to be self-sustaining and have a farm and live out on the farm, you know, raise a family that way. You know, kind of be like Neil Young and have a recording studio in a barn.
Well, hey, then maybe a John Deere sponsorship would be a good thing.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know,
tractors.
Every farmer needs a good tractor, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, man, I'm all for that. I want a little spot out in the country, too.
Yeah.
I've got some family who live out in, like, the Latimer area,
mm-hmm.
and it's one of my favorite places to go to. I mean, it's so quiet. A lot of places around here, you've got, like, the Air Force Base and the casinos. The lights from the casinos are just killer on star life.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got the promenade in D'Iberville that's up and coming and is always bustling, you know. It always sounds like there's a shuttle about to take off just in the desk, like idling, you know.
I live right in the path of the airport, so all the planes fly right over my house every day.
Keesler or Gulfport?
Gulfport.
Yeah.
So it makes it kind of hard to record at my house. I kind of have to do it and, you know, like, okay, that was an airplane. It's going to give me at least an hour, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sometimes airplanes can be cool, though, in recordings.
Yeah. And then there's a train track that's, like, not even a few yards back. So get train whistles in there, airplanes, helicopters, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there's a similar place. Have you heard of Kewaunee, Mississippi? It's, I think, east, like, 30 miles east of Meridian. I might be wrong. I'm directionally challenged. It's either north, south, east, or west of Meridian, 30 miles. And it's like you were saying, just super peaceful. No noise out there.
Yeah.
The population is like 60 or something. And
all
they have is a Kewaunee One Stop. It's just a little truck stop where you can either get a burger or, you know, whatever convenience you might need, you know, medicine. Or they have slot machines.
Just
in the gas station as well,
in
case you got an
anchoring
for some gambling. And that's all they have there, in like a little antique store called Simmons and Wright Company, and that's it. That's all I got to offer. But it's just so peaceful. Mm-hmm. I love it.
That's where your family grew up.
Yeah, my mom's side grew up there.
Yeah. We wrote a song about Kewaunee, too, in our separate project from Roscoe called M and Me.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, we're going to be playing down there at Lynn Meadows this Saturday. What time are we playing?
4:30, I think.
Yep, 4:30.
And then Roscoe plays at 9.
Yeah, 9 o'clock. So that's going to be cool. We'll
be so has the side project been taken off? Because that's a new development, right?
Yeah, it's very new. That's pretty new. I think this will be our fourth or fifth show we've played coming up here. And it seems to be doing pretty well. We're actually doing Robin Roberts is coming to Cat Island Coffee House in Pass Christian for a book signing.
Yeah.
And the owners, Sean and Scott, are super cool there. And
great people.
Invited Jason and I to play as him and me for the book signing. So we had to...
Yeah, maybe Good Morning America might be there.
Yeah, so. They say Good Morning America might be there. So that might be cool.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
But yeah, it's fun. I think it's important to keep the creative inspiration flowing, you know. We're all dedicated to Roscoe, first of all, of course.
And then, you know, Emily has her band Della Memoria.
With Della.
Yeah. Let's hear a little bit about that.
Well, I've been recording right down the street in Ocean Springs with this producer, Derek Pardo. And it's a three-piece right now. Me and Josh Smith and Pat McKinley, the bass player and drummer from Roscoe. And... it's just kind of, we've just recently incorporated synth into it, and it's kind of like a jazzy indie rock band, I guess. I don't know, I don't like genres. But we're in the process of wrapping up recording. We're putting a 6-song EP out, and I'm super excited about it.
It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What?
That was a mosquito.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now that the weather's gone through, I was hoping like everything would just... All the bugs that I don't like, I was hoping they would just, like, move and go away.
Go someplace else?
Yeah.
Going back into hibernation, maybe?
Exactly. Like, I will put as many glaciers into the ocean as necessary if it means mosquitoes going away forever.
And they're getting bigger, too, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah, the pterodactyl mosquitoes, they're on the way.
They are on the way.
Jason and I actually almost, we've talked about having a punk band.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I'm going to play drums in that one.
Yeah, we have so many ideas, man. Just, I mean, Emily's a prophetic songwriter. She writes a song like every day.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so, yeah, we're definitely down to try whatever comes out, you know, regardless if we're trying to make money off of it, you know. In the end, that's not really what it's about, you know. It's about just being honest and letting the music come out.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been fortunate enough to be able to be self-sustaining from that, you know, for the most part.
For the most part.
Yeah. I mean, we're still living with our parents right now, but we can pay bills, you know. And hopefully by the end of this year, we should be on a new record label.
Slow and steady wins the race.
That's what I keep telling myself. That's right. We're the Turtles. So, it's all about just being honest and letting it come out.
And you were talking earlier about y'all might be trying to do like a house studio or something like that, like a place just to...
It'd be nice if we could, you know. We haven't had the finances for it yet, but hopefully soon we will,
yeah.
You know. And I would actually even love to have a studio in Gulfport, like a really, really nice one that I could record my stuff at, and then all the other local artists, you know, that I know. Mm-hmm. You could come in and do it for an affordable amount. That's always the problem, mm-hmm. you know, just having enough money to record.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I love recording, and I've been doing it since I was 18 years old, you know. How old am I, 29? No, yeah, 29, right?
You're 29?
No, I'll be 29
You're
this year.
You're 28, don't age yourself.
I always do that, I'm always jumping the gun. But yeah.
Oh, man.
I'll be 29
this
year.
I still think I'm 23. I just turned 25. I'm like still, for some reason, I'm stuck on 23. Like, I started the denial process at that age.
Hey, man. It happens.
Yeah. I think my 22nd birthday was really depressing because I wasn't 21 anymore. And I knew that every birthday from here on for the rest of my life would be anticlimactic.
That's what you're living.
You're going to be so excited when you get that senior citizen discount at age 65. You
right.
Just hang on there.
I know.
That's what you're shooting for.
Stop jumping the gun. Oh, man.
Yeah, my one of my friends, Daniel Cavanaugh, he recently had his birthday, and he's like, yeah, next year I'm gonna be in my late 20s officially. He's bummed about that.
Yeah. No reason to.
Well, this means you got more stories to tell.
That's right. That's right. Got more knowledge in your head.
I like to mess with Jason, though, because he's 3 years older. And so I say, you know, when I'm...
You're almost 30.
When I'm 67, you'll be 70. When I'm 77, you'll be 80.
And that's fine.
I just like to mess with you.
Y'all heard the Beatles song, When I'm 64? Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that tune.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about bugs just a second ago and breaking records, Jack White speeding through records and whatnot. There is a bug that just beat the fastest land animal record in the world. Mm-hmm. It's the Paraterosotomus macropallalopus.
Wow, that's a huge word, man.
Mm-hmm. I didn't pronounce it correctly. No, don't congratulate me. A lot of times I just say something and I just hope it goes, like, nobody will look into it, like, no doctors are listening to the show.
It was convincing. You sounded indulgent.
Very intelligent.
Yeah. I usually burst my own bubble after I make attempts on those those scientific things. But yeah, this little California mite can run up to 322 body lengths per second. So just imagine if you could run 322 times your own body length.
A second.
Mm-hmm. The cheetah can only run 166 body lengths per second.
Holy cow.
Which is still pretty impressive.
A second? That doesn't even seem possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yep.
So what's the fastest human?
A human would have to run 1,300 miles per hour to match the speed of the mite.
I can take it.
You can take it?
Oh, yeah.
Or you could just step on it, like, it's relative to body size, so right. Even if it broke its record for its own species, you could still take, like, one stride and squish it, so. It's got nothing on your shoe.
Ain't got nothing on my stout.
Are y'all TV fans? Do y'all have any TV shows that you're following right now?
My parents just got Netflix, and so I've been watching an unhealthy amount of movies and TV series. My TV series choice right now is New Girl with Zooey Deschanel. Jason has been watching it with me.
It's a good program. I dig it.
It's a good program.
I dig it. I like it.
I really like Zooey Deschanel. I feel like
I'm more of a sci-fi guy myself.
Yeah, that's, we're a little different on that. But.
I've been hearing in the sci-fi realm that the Star Wars cast is being assimilated for the new... installment or whatever it is.
Yeah, I saw a picture of that where they're all sitting around comfy chairs.
Yeah.
Discussing.
Yeah, it's like the new and the old cast apparently.
Yeah.
They got together. I'm excited that J.J. Abrams has the helm of the wheel for this. Because I watched all of Lost.
Uh-huh.
Love it.
Okay. Lost is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, J.J. Abrams is, he did another show. We're going to find out. We're going to give J.J. Abrams full credit here with the internet.
Right on.
J.J. Abrams. He does a lot of good movies, too. Oh, yeah, Star Trek. He did Star Trek. Yeah.
The recent ones?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, he did the original one. He did Fringe. That's the other television series. And that, I never watched it. Super 8, Alias, Mission Impossible 3.
Right on.
So, he's got a good track record. I'm a believer in old Abrams. This. Cloverfield, let's see. So yeah, he's got a good track record on him. So we'll see what he does.
Cool.
Should be good.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
Did y'all ever watch Breaking Bad?
No.
I got into it a little bit.
I've only seen one episode. My dad really got into that show and.
Most of the band has really gotten into that show.
I still want to watch it from the first episode to the end, because everyone I've talked to has fallen in love with it.
Yeah, apparently it's one of the best shows of last year and this year. I don't know. I don't even know what season they're on, but...
Oh, they're done.
Oh, they're done with it?
Yeah. They finished. I got really nervous when you held the camera up, and I was like trying to pretend that I didn't see it. And I got a little distracted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I do that when
had
I
one
sing
of those
too.
What I do with my hands moments.
I do that when I sing too with Roscoe. I'm like, oh god, I just avoid eye contact with the camera. And of course, Jason and Jen both look like awesome in every stage shot.
It's not true.
It's so true.
It's not true.
Don't deny it.
It's not true.
I have this like perma bitch face.
And that's not true either.
I do.
It's not true.
I have to
Lies.
Practice smiling in front of the mirror more often.
No. You're fine, babe. You're good.
Yeah, I usually just try to do it and just like let people go with it. Sometimes people want to like make poses. I've never been a poser person.
No. Yeah.
Even that statement just
I've never been a poser person.
No, me neither, brother.
I don't know. Like, you know, back when cameras first started coming around and, like people would go into indigenous cultures and, like, try to take their picture and they'd freak out because they were like, oh, my soul's being taken.
Right.
Like, it feels a lot, like, I cringe when I see family portraits of, like, nice suits and, like, hugs and, like, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, the books. It's, like, the 100 most awkward family photos ever.
Yes.
And it's, like,
yes.
Families, like, laying on top
on
of
top
each
of
other's
each other.
Back.
Oh, my gosh, yes, that's awesome. Have you, I know that a Trinity portraits was a thing at the mall, at Edgewater Mall in Biloxi for a while. Did you ever see that booth?
Mm-mm.
It was right across from Annie Ann's Pretzels. It's something different now. But when it was Trinity Pictures, it was just pure gold. It was, like, a father, like, putting his hands around a sunshine in the sky, and then his family was in the sunshine.
It was pretty cool.
It was amazing.
I recently went with my family to take my niece to get her Easter pictures, and you would think that's like a cute ordeal. It's not
right.
cute. It's
it's kind
it's
of
an
scary,
ordeal.
Huh?
Like they gave her a bunny, and like the picture they picked was like her like. Looks like she's trying to pet the bunny, but, like, the bunny's, like, head is, like, smushed between her lap and her head. But she's cute. Yeah, for sure.
Right.
But I just see the picture. I'm like, man, poor bunny.
Well, I was in the mall the other day with Em, and we were walking by the Easter portraits where they had a place where, you know, they actually had a guy dressed up in an Easter costume. And the baby is just screaming, just petrified. And I'm like, why would you do that to your child? You know?
Well, you know, we all did it, and it's scary, and I think I realize why it's scary. It's because they have these giant eyeballs that don't blink, and they're just, like, staring at you. Same way with clowns. I think that's what makes them scary. Their eyes don't blink, and they're
so,
giant.
They're giant. Yeah, they're huge.
I mean, if a person looked at you like that and didn't blink, yeah, I'd be scared of them, too.
I do that a lot from time to time.
I like to do that on stage, really creep people out.
Yeah, Donnie Darko ruined me for Easter Bunny pictures. So.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I'm loading something up real quick. There's a...
Yeah, check that out.
There it is. That's the one.
I wish all of you listening could see this.
Poor kid.
Funny.
What,
this poor innocent child.
Can they sue that bunny for, like, detaining that girl?
I don't know, man. Probably not. It's probably something.
I don't know why, but my phone is not cooperating. Like, I get to the pictures, but then it won't. Can you, Emily, can you type in Easter bunny pictures gone wrong?
Yes.
And just go into images. There's one in particular, but I'm seeing all kinds of good stuff, regardless. Hey,
oh,
perfect timing. We're in a middle
so
of a
much.
Little break.
And I brought
appreciate
you guys some
that.
Tea as well.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Because I heard you guys are, you know,
yeah.
You're awesome.
Yeah.
Thank
he
you.
Got it for you. Hurry and
yeah, I brought you guys some tea from home. That's lemon honey.
I think we're good. Thank you.
What kind of tea is this?
It's from, it's called Wee Yee. Mm-hmm. Once again, don't quote me on it, but it's a company based out of Austin, Texas, and it's like an immune booster, antioxidant infused tea.
W-Y-I.
Yeah, but I dig it. And,
that was very good.
Emily told me y'all were feeling a little under the weather, and I brought
yeah.
some with me. So
did you really?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
I was working. For holidays, I was doing a little retail gig, and they had a gourmet food aisle, and they have tons of awesome like teas from Sri Lanka and uh-huh. California and China and all this kind of stuff. So
oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you so
really,
much,
really thoughtful.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. That's great.
Delicious.
Delicious. It's happening now. Oh, man. There's so much goodness.
Of course, this could just be an old photo and, like, the resolution doesn't exist back then. But you get the idea. Imagine that, but clearer.
Oh, man, it's the eyes.
Yeah. Man. It's got, like, cat eyes.
It looks like an alien.
Easter bunny cat eyes.
No, that's, like, alien eyes.
It's demented looking.
Yeah, that's creepy. Whoever came up with the Easter bunny idea anyways, you know.
I mean,
Jesus.
If I was a mom, so, right? I wouldn't send my kid to sit on that thing.
Speaking of Jesus.
Speaking of Jesus.
What you got there?
I haven't dived into this yet, but I like to go to the libraries around here, and I just joined the Jackson County Library. I usually go to the Harrison County, but I've been going there for CDs. Jackson County has a lot of good CDs, and I've pretty much depleted all the CD options in Harrison County. Forgot who it is. Past Christian? Yeah, they have a great CD collection. And I joined Jackson County to get some Lightning Hopkins CDs and some Booker White, or I probably pronounced that wrong. Booker White. Yeah. And I walked in there to pick up a CD, and there was this.
Coffee and, with Jesus.
Yep. And I said, I got to know what this is about.
Radio Free Babylon presents Coffee with Jesus.
Yeah, and it's, from what I can tell, it's just a strip, and it's like all these, like, 1950s and 60s, like, clean-cut families and business suits, like, sitting down for breakfast at their tables and having very just like, how are you doing, Jesus? And then Jesus says some stuff, I guess, and I don't know. It looks pretty good, though. I'm just going to flip through it.
Yeah.
I got a friend of mine who's real... into, he likes comic books and stuff, so I thought it'd be an interesting piece just to like
that
go through and see with him.
And how old is that? When was that?
It was written by David Wilkie, and copyright 2013. So
yeah, that's
okay, it's
recent.
Pretty recent, yeah.
It's cool though. You should read one of the strips.
Would you like me to read one of the strips?
Yeah,
sure,
that'd be cool.
Why not?
This one is called Dead Serious. And here's the old 50s looking man in a business suit saying, back then, in Bible times, did you have a sense of humor, Jesus? Jesus says, nope. Walked around serious and somber. Once in a while, I could muster a weak smile when kids came up to me, or puppies. Businessman says, bummer, I'd always thought you were fully human as well as being fully God. Wait, you're playing with me, aren't you, J-Man? He says, gotcha, Carl. So a Catholic and a Baptist walk into a bar. Stop me if you've heard this one. Pretty good.
That's funny. Hours of entertainment on that one.
Here's one called Knock Knock. The businessman says, knock knock. The door is open, Kevin. Please come in. No, you're supposed to say, who's there, Jesus? Yeah, that kind of goes against my nature. I've never been any good at this game. It's witty.
Oh, man, that's funny.
That's pretty funny.
Have y'all come across any good books that y'all been reading lately?
Yeah, I've been reading one called Creative Loop. I forget the name of the author, but it's about what makes the brain a mind, what controls the creative processes of your brain. You know, there's the whole left brain and right brain thing. And I'm definitely more right-brained. Can't not good at math or any of that. But it's pretty interesting. It's one I found in a thrift store on tour. That's where I've gotten most of my books as of late. And I've been finding these little old notes from... It was obviously used in a college class. People have highlighted and stuff.
That's
and
cool.
Written notes, which is cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good. I like it.
None that I can think of right now.
You're reading the Neil Young one, actually, aren't you?
I was, but I haven't read it in some time now. It's mainly for like when we're on the road. You know, mm-hmm. in the van, then I just pick it up and keep it going. Because when we're in the van for like 5 or 6 hours straight, you know, or plus that, we've been in the van for 24 hours straight one time, going from Chicago to El Paso. And yeah, you got to have something to read or something to do, you know. And recently, Josh Smith, the bass player, his brother and him, Tyler, they installed USB chargers. So now we can charge our phones while we're going down the highway as well.
Neat.
Which is good for us, you know, because it's always nice to have our phone, play a game on it or something like that to pass the time.
What would we do without technology? We'd have to actually talk, have sparkling conversations.
Talk to each other, gee whiz.
Well, hey, there's a good game that I just found recently for smartphones that very much encourages talking. It's called Space Team.
Space Team.
Yeah. What you do is you download the game, and then using Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, you hook up with one, you know, up to four people, and then what happens is you've got a ship that's going across, and you're trying to project yourself forward before you get into like a ball of fire or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And everybody has an individual control panel, and you press buttons and turn knobs and set gauges, and instructions flash up on the screen. And that's it. And instructions flash up on the screen, and you yell to each other, and you say, "Set your neutron tractor to 3 and turn off your panel engager," and
oh,
all
this
kinds
great.
Of things. And meanwhile, asteroids will come, and someone will see an asteroid coming and say, "Asteroid, shake," and everybody shakes their phone, and everybody has to do it so you avoid the asteroid. And then goo will drop on your panel, and you got to rub it off so you can see your instructions and all this stuff, and your panels will fall off and hinge, and you got to like pick it up and put it back into place. And you know, you're just shouting at each other and yelling, and
I'm downloading.
I like
right
stuff
now.
Like that.
Yeah,
I really like the game Balderdash. Have you ever played that?
Is it like Temple Run or something like that, or?
No, it's actually a board game. It's not an app or anything, but it's you have the different categories, and one of them is acronyms, and there's like books and movies and what are the other ones? I don't remember.
I'm not sure.
But acronyms is my favorite, and what you do is everyone gets a card. And has the same acronym on it, and they're all really obscure acronyms and definitions and movie titles that most people haven't heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And you either, the person who is discarding everything writes the real acronym and the meaning of everything, while everyone else writes, either if they know it, which mostly they don't, they write that, or they write their most convincing idea of what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, ACPR could be some organization in Ohio. Then I would think of, like, ACPR, Association of Cats Playing,
Racquetball.
Racquetball,
yeah.
Exactly, stuff like that, and it's just really funny. I wish we could play Balderdash in the van, but that would get messy with the cards and the board pieces.
Can't do Monopoly and stuff like that.
Yeah,
no.
Catchphrase is a really good one that doesn't require any pieces.
We do Mad Libs.
We do Mad Libs, yeah.
We do Mad Libs every now and then. That's really fun and usually gets dirty. But
because it lands on the floor, right?
Because our van is so dirty.
I've been playing this game, Plants vs. Zombies.
Zombies, yeah.
You play that?
I've watched people and I've read about it a ton of times because it's so popular.
It's pretty addictive. I mean, it passes the time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we need when we're in the van.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There was this one show. Where were we driving from when we went to El Paso, Texas?
From Chicago, right?
We're driving, was it Chicago?
You're talking about the 24-hour run?
It was like a 24-25-hour drive straight.
Yeah.
And was that the one where you were sick, or you took Z-Quil? He took like three tables.
You're talking
to
try to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was already on something that was stimulating me. I think it was like a 5-hour. And, yeah, bad mix. You know? But it wasn't out of my system yet. And so I, you know, took that to go to sleep. And thinking in my brain, oh, well, if I up the dose, you know, this will definitely put me under.
I was like, Jason, don't do that.
And she warned me. She said, no, don't do that. And so everything was slow-mo for a while, but I survived.
It was really fun to watch, though.
Yeah, she enjoyed watching me on that one.
And, like, he would open the door for people, and it was just like... I added the sound effect for people who can't see me. So that was me opening door very slowly.
And that's what a music career will do for you, folks.
There you go.
Sound clip professional.
Sound clip. Yeah. sound clip professional.
Thank goodness, like, when you combine those two kinds of chemicals, like, it doesn't, like, alternate every, like, 10 minutes, you know? Can you imagine doing a show, like super hyper and then, like, just
slowing
tired?
Down.
It's like, ooh, we better have a balanced set list tonight.
Yeah, right. No, try to plan for that
That'd
one.
That'd be interesting.
Oh, man, that was a hard run, though.
Yeah, that one we had to go to El Paso that took 24 hours to get there, we actually played a detention center, you know, because the Mexican border is right there, and a lot of the people who were in the detention center had once lived in Mexico and lived in, like, crazy, crazy conditions, and that was a really cool experience, but it was weird because we were all running on just E. We were just right there, hadn't gotten sleep, we were in the van. Like, all right, let's be motivational. Talk to these kids.
Yeah.
So,
I really enjoyed that. That was
that was a cool experience. Yeah. I really liked that too. It was funny. It was kind of a Q&A, like play a song, and then if a kid has a question, you answer it. And one of the kids, you know, Jackson was there, and he has the dreads. And the kid was like, "Do you like Bob Marley?" You have dreads.
Question he gets. You gonna burn about. Something tonight?
You gonna burn something?
Get out of here, kid.
That was so funny.
Quote of the night. Yeah, that was a good run though. I think we're supposed to be doing something at another national park soon too.
National park?
Yeah, like that was at a national park. It was really nice because it was overlooking this beautiful mountain range, which they had beautiful lights on it. And when it got dark, we started playing right around 5, and then the sun was setting, and it was awesome. Even though we were exhausted, but, you know, you push on through that.
Sometimes being exhausted makes it even that more incredible, you know, delusional states.
True. Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
You're right.
Yep.
It does help.
Yep. Y'all played around Denver? Any?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We played Denver, actually. We had a lot of fun in Denver when we played. We went to this arcade bar.
Yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah. Is it a kung fu looking arrangement? Is there, like, logo, a martial artist or something on the
floor? I don't know. I don't remember. I remember it had, a huge... What's the game where you take the pieces of wood out? Or Jenga?
Yeah.
They had a huge Jenga in the back of the bar. I remember that.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was so fun.
I was, the reason I said that is because I found an arcade bar in Austin, Texas once, and it had a martial artist, so I think I was thinking of Denver for that, but...
It could have.
I don't know, but they were a chain arcade thing, so they probably have one in Denver too, I would think. But, one of our friends, Ryan Vanskiver, who was one of the co-hosts who did the open mics here for comedy with us, with me and Daniel, he just got into Denver today. He moved there this week.
That's awesome.
And so he's going to start doing, like, full swing comedy stuff.
Oh, wow.
Up there. And he actually got delayed from the weather. He went up to Hattiesburg, and then the tornadoes and all that stuff came through.
Jeez.
But he's hilarious. So I think
he's going to... Are you doing
stand-up? Mm-hmm. Here.
I saw him.
Yeah, on Monday nights around 8 o'clock.
Over at the grocery?
Right here.
Right here. Yeah. You were doing it last Thursday, right? Was it? Or
Mondays. Every Mondays.
Monday, okay.
Yeah. We've been doing it every Monday since Martin Luther King Day.
Okay.
When we first had it. Because we're about freedom of speech and shit.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
I'll have to come catch you because... Yeah, you've been doing it for a while, because when we both went to college at Southern in Hattiesburg, and I think the first time I saw you do stand-up was at the Martini Spot in Hattiesburg.
I've never did it.
Did you drink a martini there?
Yeah, that's where you and I met. Was at the...
I was drinking a martini there, too. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was there to scope it out, and because I think they have, like, you know, the Hub City comedy thing and all that, and we've been kind of networking with them and all that kind of stuff. And somebody, there's a guy, his name's Derek, I think he's, I don't know, Daniel told me he was coming down from either Mobile or Hattiesburg. I think it's Hattiesburg, though. So he's probably with the comedy hub. But we're going to perform tomorrow night. I'm going to play guitar and promote the Dyerville Crawfish Festival that's happening next Saturday. And then they're going to do stand-up there. And so, yeah.
Cool.
It's going to be cool.
Groceries on Thursday here on
That's
Mondays.
What I was thinking. Groceries Thursday. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to come catch you.
Yeah, absolutely.
For here, it's pretty much going to fall into Daniel's hands for the most part because I work nights a lot of time. And also, like, just as of lately, like, when we first started off, I just went full-fledged, like, into comedy mode. And, like, I wrote for 2 years before I even went up on stage. Like, I just got super prepared and all this stuff and had an arsenal.
That's good, though.
And, but... Once I started doing it, I found that I was writing music less, I was playing a lot less, and the festival, the Iberville Festival's coming up, and practicing for that and stuff like that, I just haven't written any material, really, or even concepts or anything like that, so I don't know, it's just, I feel like I can't really diverge between the podcast, actual work, music, and then...
You got your job.
Yeah, you know, all that stuff, I just, you know... music's more top priority, so but I try to come here just to be another person to go up on stage and encourage things and support it and all that kind of stuff, so you know, it's hit or miss. I might come every other weekend or something if I can, and just throw out a couple of one-liners or something like that.
That's cool.
That's good though.
I was telling him earlier, I give props to people who can talk on stage, because singing to me is so much easier than talking, because you actually have to think on the spot when you talk, and I'm not good at that.
I think you're good at it.
No, at Adela's show, when we first started, I was playing at SOS back when that was in Ocean Springs, and I told a joke. It was one of those that takes like 5 minutes to tell, and... No one laughed. There was probably like 20-something people out there watching, which is really nerve-wracking for me enough because it was right when I started playing in front of people. And, you know, I mean, you could hear a pin drop. But then when I said, I guess I should just stick to singing, then people laughed. So they took pity on me, I guess.
Yeah, those take a lot of investment. The long-haul jokes, you know, that really build up. I did... Like, my second set at the grocery for stand-up, I did a bit on... It was Christmas time, and I wrote this bit on how Jesus and Santa Claus were created in the same meeting by, like, government officials or whatever.
Oh, God.
And the whole premise of the joke is, like, these two guys who are talking back and forth, and, like, the first guy's talking about Santa Claus. He's basically inventing Santa Claus to make kids be good, right. And he's describing all the characteristics of Santa Claus. And it's like me, the first 2 minutes is just me talking about, like, nothing's really funny. It's just kind of me explaining this conversation. And, like, halfway into it, you know, after realizing, like, nothing about it is funny in that first 2 minutes of explanation, I was just like, oh, God, I hope when I get to the good part that, like, it actually is good as I'm hoping it is. And then, so after the Santa Claus part, then they start trying to figure out how to make adults be good. So they invent Jesus. And then it's like the same exact character. Like, it's almost the identical conversations that they have about Santa Claus with just small variances between here and there. And,
Did they get it?
Yeah, after I got done, like, I actually got, like, a whole room, like, applause and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, that was the best comedy moment I had so far. So,
awesome.
And it was, like, the long, drawn-out thing. Like, work went into it and all this stuff.
If you can
do that,
then you can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that takes the most courage, really. Yeah. I mean, I think stand-up comedians, that takes the most courage.
Yeah. I wish you guys could have seen Ryan perform. I mean,
Ryan Moore?
Ryan Van Sciver.
Okay.
The one who just moved to Denver. Because he'll just get up on stage and just start talking. Like, he'll have small concepts or, like, no concepts at all. And, like, but he's just very good at just, like, just talking, you know, without rambling, you know, too much. And, you know, just kind of drawing the crowd in slowly. And, so,
that's cool.
I mean, he's just really good at it. Him and Daniel are, you know, the best as far as I know around here.
Do you know, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Do you know Brittany Purvis from Hattiesburg?
I'm Dark better with faces. Glasses. I might recognize the face.
Okay. She was one of my good friends in Hattiesburg, and she's a stand-up comedian still. I believe she's doing that. And she had that way about her, too. She was just, her delivery was really on point.
Mm-hmm.
But she made me laugh a lot. Mm-hmm. You should check her out. Do you ever go to Hattiesburg anymore?
I have not been since I graduated. I've been meaning to. I've got a friend who is the manager at Patio 49 or something like that, Louis Pino, and he was asking me if I wanted to do a show there on a weekend or a Sunday or something like that, come up and do an acoustic set. And, you know, they've got open mics that Daniel and Ryan have both gone up to for comedy. And, you know, I've been wanting to go up there just to maybe do a podcast with the Hub City guys and do a set up there and see Louis and maybe do a show or something like that. But yeah. I've yet to really get a chance to go up, you know?
You should, yeah. I know another place, a really awesome place there is... Did you ever go to Thirsty Hippo?
Yeah, loved it.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
And Della plays there every now and then, and Roscoe does, too. But I actually played... They had an open mic night there, and I played some of my songs from Della, and that's how Brad, the owner, inquired about Della playing there. But it's such... It used to be, like, a tiny little kind of a hole-in-the-wall place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty cool, though, because they had this back patio area that had all these vines and stuff growing all over the brick walls, and a lot of people grew to love it. And I saw some of my favorite bands there. Color Revolt. Have you ever listened to Color Revolt? They're still one of my favorites. They're really great. Mattresses Underwater is a great song of theirs. And they just changed locations, though. It's a little more like restaurant-esque now, but they... when the bands come to play, they clear all the tables out and it turns into a venue. They actually just built a new stage on the back of the restaurant part, which is really, really, really cool. So the Thirsty Hippo is a really cool spot to check out in Hattiesburg.
Yeah.
For sure.
I love the Hippo. And the Keg and Barrel, that was another place that I liked to go.
Oh, yeah.
Lot.
Spent many a nights the Keg.
Mm-hmm.
I got some jokes for you.
Oh, please. Go for it.
What do you call a bear in the rain?
I don't know. What?
A drizzly bear.
Oh, my gosh. That's good, though.
That's Jackson Weldon, mandolin player of Roscoe. I'll give him credit for that. Also for this one. What do you call a man with a shovel?
Well, I don't know. What?
Doug. What do you call a man without a shovel?
Douglas?
Yes.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm pretty much a comedy master. Well, dang, Jackson needs to come out and do an open mic with us.
Right?
Yeah.
No, we actually, there was one of those really long runs. We had a pun war in the van, and just for probably like 13 hours straight, just puns. Food puns. We get
Emily's
categories.
The best at puns.
I love puns.
She's so good
puns.
At them.
Give me a category. Throw me a word. I'll give you a pun.
Throw you a word or category?
Category and or word.
Chalkboard was the first thing that came to my mind. Is that anything that you can work with, or am I terrible at this game?
It's tough.
Maybe not a compound word.
Okay. Box.
Box. let me think. Give me two syllables. Sorry.
Okay, I'm being
so specific.
I was about to give you umbrella, but that definitely... Oh,
no,
does that work?
I like ones that have to... Yeah, let me think. Okay, y'all talk about something while I'm thinking, and then I'll come back.
So one time it was raining, I used an umbrella, and my day was pretty good after that.
It got a lot better.
Yeah. What do you call a man without an umbrella?
Umbrellas.
That's right. I'm pretty much a comedy master.
I think we're throwing her off.
Hey, y'all keep going.
We're going to let the bird take over for a little bit. So I'm just now noticing these icicles that are around the trees that are dripping down.
Oh, yeah, those are super cool.
Yeah.
So school's starting soon. Did y'all hear the umbrella ring?
That was
kind of a stretch.
That was good.
Maybe not. Maybe a different word.
Okay.
Give me a fruit. Or vegetable?
Fruit. Apricot.
Hmm. I think I've heard
it's
her
a
do
good
this
one.
One before.
Now I'm going to be thinking of what I can do with it. Of course, I won't do that to y'all. Let's see. There's got to be fun facts I can throw at you here. Oh, you got one? Okay, here it is.
You know, April and Barbara, they both tried out for football.
I like where this is going.
And Barbara didn't do it, but April did, because April caught the ball.
Ooh, well done. See, she's
very good.
So, like, hours of that happened. And by the end of it, I think we had a few of the people in the van wanting to strangle us. Those of us who are still doing it.
Oh, if y'all ever have... Y'all usually travel with, like, a crew of at least, like, six, right?
Oh, yeah.
Seven
eight, usually. Yeah.
You guys should play Killers and Villagers.
Killers and Villagers.
Fantastic game. It's a psychological mystery party game. I actually wrote a blog about it, and it's up on Coastal Noise. But the premise is you, the more people, the better. And so let's say you've got a group of 10 or whatever. You write on pieces of paper. You get 10 pieces of paper. And on 8 pieces, you it's better to have 2 killers to keep things cool, fair, and even. And the rest are villagers. And you write them down on a piece of paper. Everybody draws. They get a roll. And then everybody, you have the night stage and the day stage. During the day stage, everybody votes. You analyze, you question each other, you interrogate one another, and you try to figure out, you take a vote on who you think the killer is, and then you eliminate them. Once that person's eliminated, then they just become an observer for the rest of the game. Then you have the night phase where everybody goes to sleep. The two killers lift their heads up so they can see who each other is. And then if you want to have the option available, you can have them choose someone that they want to pick off. And then the person who's the observer can now relays the message, well, this person was killed in the night. And then you wake up and you vote again. And you just keep doing that and doing that. And it's great for getting friends to yell at each other and turning you. Because the more you play, the more you understand psychologically how your friends, how they lie.
Yeah.
How they tell their stories, what their mannerisms are. A Russian psychology professor named Dmitry Davidoff created it, and it just took off in the campus, and now it's world famous.
Sounds
That's cool.
It's unstoppable.
What is it called again?
Unstoppable.
Some people call it Mafia. Some people call it Killers and Villagers.
Killers and Villagers.
But I believe it's originally named Mafia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And there are variations of the game. You can put like doctors and policemen and stuff in it that all have different roles. I just keep it so simple. Sheep and wolves.
Well, that'd be good for us because, I mean, our van we have, it's basically laid out as 8 captain's chairs and, you know, 4 on each side.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a little bit of space to move around, but not much. We're kind of packed in there like sardines, you know. But, yeah, I mean, Ad Libs is always fun, but that would be a cool game to play.
We need to play more games. We need to interact more.
Well, we interact a lot.
Get everybody off their phones.
True. That would be good.
Sometimes I get really frustrated with technology. It's great. I love technology. I use it all the time.
It is a double-edged sword.
It's a double-edged sword, yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was in my last year of college, I just threw my phone in the lake, you know, and just so I could focus on everything that I needed to do. And it was probably one of the best years of my life, except for when I was younger and didn't have a cell phone. It was good.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good to just get away from all that, you know.
Yeah. I've thought about so many times of downgrading to just a regular phone, not a smartphone.
Yeah. I know.
I don't understand.
It shouldn't
be that like that difficult, you know.
I think that's something that everyone who has a smartphone, like, that thought has crossed their mind, and it's that people have fantasized about getting just a normal phone, but then it's like, oh no, I could never do that. What would I do? How would I check my Facebook?
Well, I mean,
you'd still have computers, you know.
Yeah.
And you'd have to go places to access things.
Yeah.
But like, I use Evernote, and that is, like, huge for me. That's the most used app that I use.
What's
and
that?
It's just a notepad kind of thing where you can write ideas. I write a lot of, like, that's where a lot of my stand-up material goes and stuff like that. And you can create tags for it, for different things. So, like, that's the interface of it. Like, just right there, you can create a note, you can create a sound clip, or take pictures. Like, I take a lot of business cards. I just take pictures of them, and then I put the picture into my business card category. And so I have my tags here. I have articles and readings. I have blogs. I have books to get, books to write, business cards, just random ideas, lyrics, movies and music, one-liners. Psychological studies, short stories that I've written. Sometimes I keep sleeper logs, like if I'm trying to just recording dreams or something like that. I have tabs for video, guitar songs.
It's like a more organized
workout logs.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But the great thing about it is I type it here and it syncs to here. And then I also, you can also go online and sign in and it's all right there. So it just fluidly just transitions from one thing to the other.
That's awesome.
That's really cool. I need to get that. Yeah, because I use the notepad for all that stuff. But I always like go look for stuff and can't find it.
Yeah.
I need something that categorizes it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Evernote. That's
pretty
cool.
I mean, I use it just all the time. And you can, you know, post hyperlinks into it and just click on them and it'll just pull it up online and stuff like that.
Very cool.
So... that, and then, but I mean, besides that, I mean, it's mostly what, like maps, weather,
yeah,
Facebook, Twitter, mail, calendars. Calendars are huge, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love being able to put that right in, like, at that moment.
Right.
Yeah. Instagram is my weakness. Instagram way too much.
I haven't gotten into it.
Yeah. I like it because with Facebook, you know, I get really frustrated. I see people who post these, like, paragraph-long statuses about like passive aggressive ex-boyfriend statuses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like Instagram because you can't really do that. You have to say more with the picture than the caption.
See, I've been in a mental battle of with Facebook because when I was in probably like my last year of college, I just dropped it for half a year. Like I didn't go on Facebook or anything like that.
Too.
Mm-hmm. And
I did that for like a week.
Yeah. And then, but after. After a while, then I started doing, like, this stuff and music and all that. And I was like, well, you know, this is kind of important.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you want to play the game as well as everyone else is playing it, then you kind of have to do it.
Yeah.
So Twitter, I like. I'm fine with that. And I'll use that. But as far as Facebook goes, I've pretty much, since I've gotten back on it, I've pretty much just told myself I'm only going to post, like, things that are related to music, podcasting, blogging, news articles, and stuff like that. Like, it's just going to be a very clean-cut, like, business-y kind of thing.
Yeah.
But more people around here in this area are into Facebook than they are Twitter.
True.
And I have way more people on Facebook than I do on Twitter. So, I don't know. Like, I'm wondering if I should start saying things on Facebook, you know? But I don't really want to. I don't know why. I guess it's because I left it like well back and go, and now I'm trying to keep it the way it is, and I just like I don't like the idea of people who are like constantly living their lives on Facebook. So when they're like asking me stuff about Facebook, I'm just like would rather be like I don't really get on Facebook.
Yeah,
I mean I do, but it's more of like a lot of times it's just copy and paste from like Twitter, you know, or something
stuff.
Like that.
I mean, it is beneficial for on the business side of things.
Yeah,
you know, music. In promotion,
that's all
stuff
I
like that.
For.
Yeah, yeah, me too. And sometimes I'll get a wild hair and like have the urge to post something about my dream. Like this morning, I did that. I posted this. I heard a sound yesterday. I was in the studio and Pat, our drummer, he ran a stick against these springs and it made this really like reverby. I can't imitate the noise, but the noise was in my dream in a song. In my dream.
That's cool.
And I posted, I was like really inspired by it. And so I woke up and posted this like paragraph about our sounds the same way as images as far as dreams go. Like images that you see could reappear in your dreams. Do sounds reappear as soundtracks of your dreams?
Mm-hmm.
And like I put a lot of thought into the status and then I posted it and I was like, you know what? No one's going to like feel inspired by this. And I deleted it.
No.
Like, this is not necessary. I'm just going to keep this as like, hey, come see this band at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it, you know,
I
shoot
like
people
straight.
I kind
of like what Pat does and posts just positive messages, you know, uplifting quotes for people to see. I dig that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's cool. Just, you know, keep the love spreading around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pat's a cool guy. He joined our band, Pat McKinley joined our band a couple months ago. I mentioned earlier, he's also the drummer for Della, and he's really been doing great. He had to learn, when he joined the band, we had a showcase in Nashville, like a week after he joined.
Three days
after he joined. So he and Jason worked relentlessly, nonstop.
And Josh, too.
And Josh Smith, on these songs, and he is just a sponge. He's
like 14, 15 hours every day for those 3 days just to do this showcase. And we were heading, our showcase was the start of a tour heading to New York. So along the way, when we were in Nashville, we had to practice at this place, this guy's basement, which was very, very generous of him to, you know, allow us to practice and rehearse there. But yeah, just, you know, just pushing it to the limit, just trying to cram as much as we could, you know, for these showcases. But the tour kind of got canceled because there was one of those huge storms that blew through, that blizzard. I don't know if you remember that storm. It was probably about a couple months ago. And that huge blizzard that blew through the top.
Yeah, I think I remember.
Of the United States, yeah. And so it canceled it for us, which, I mean, was kind of a good and a bad thing. We're still going back to New York in June for one of our showcases, but gave us more time to work with Pat, you know. And now it's so solid. It's getting even more solid every practice and every show. We just got done playing Lafayette and Double Decker Fest this weekend, the International Fest in Lafayette. And it was just spot on. It was awesome. It's really good.
But he's a really a good guy to have on the road with us. He's
positive energy.
Really, yeah, I got good positive energy.
And they say you can only be as good as your drummer, too. So, you know, he
true.
Is
it's
the
a
rhythm
big,
section
big
in a large
part.
You know,
you're
sure.
only as strong as your weakest link.
Yep.
That's another thing.
Yep. Yeah.
Right now, we don't have any weak links, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. It can be pretty difficult to keep a band as big as y'all's and have everybody happy and mm-hmm. creatively satisfied. No egos stomping on one another and those kinds of things.
Exactly.
I'm afraid of getting more bigger than like a 3 or 4 piece band, you know? Like, I'm always just looking for a drummer to drum with and mm-hmm. like just go from there, you know?
You got to be able to communicate, you know? That is the key with any relationship, as you know, and we all have great communication.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken time, you know? I mean, we've been a band now for about 4 years, so, and we've gone through different members in the past. And but I guess the original members of the band would be me and Jen, and then it was Jackson, Pat, and Emily and Josh, and then now Pat McKinley. And so I feel like we have a great lineup right now.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of become very familial, you know, and
yeah,
we all can get on each other's nerves in the van sometimes, but then. End of the day, we still love each other. I mean,
or a family.
Yeah,
you know.
It's familial.
Yeah.
So, it's good.
Very cool. Well, where are you guys going to be next? What's
next
on the agenda?
We're actually going to be at Lynn Meadows this weekend, Saturday. Okay. And MME is going to be there too.
4:30.
And then we're playing at 9, I think. I think that's
with
what
Roscoe.
You said.
Mm-hmm. And then the weekend after, do you remember, Jason, off the top of your head?
Oh, after that, it's going to be...
Hang on, I got the calendar pulled up right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's
damn right
man.
You do.
Yeah, you gotta have that calendar.
We'll be in Georgia, Alpharetta, and then Florida.
Yeah.
Then the next couple weekends after that, we'll be in Atlanta, South Carolina, Pennsylvania at the end of next month.
Well, you skipped over Gulfport Music Fest on May 9th.
Oh, yes, May 9th we'll be at Gulfport Music Fest along with Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Nina.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool.
I like big butts. And I cannot lie.
Is there is that who sings that?
Yeah. Right? Am I right?
Big bucks?
Yeah.
Big butts.
Oh, okay. I thought you said bucks. I was like, that guy's just ripping somebody off.
Derriers.
I like reason.
I want to see you make a pun off of derrieres.
I like big rear ends. Okay, I can do it. Hang on.
Meanwhile, Jason, is there somewhere people can go to, like, keep up with y'all's,
You can do RoscoeBanana.com, RoscoeBanana Facebook, we have Twitter, we have Instagram, I think that's about it.
Right.
And our tour schedule is also, on NewFrontierTouring.com, and, yep, that's it.
Got the dairy pun.
Let's do it.
Do you like milk?
No.
I messed it up. Bad memory. Hang on. Do you like dairy? There's a good milk store down the road. Dairy, there's a good milk store.
I love this girl. She's awesome.
Well, guys, thanks for coming out and doing it.
Thank you for having us.
You know, I don't know if you guys had to take a boat to get out of where you were or whatever this weather, but I'm glad you ventured out. I actually had to put my equipment in a boat and take it to a car. So
good. I got that my personal jet at home. I just flew here.
The van's so dirty just because you've kind of let it go so you can afford the jet.
That's
right. I just have it as a backup. You know?
Priorities. Absolutely. Well, we'd love to do it again with y'all sometime. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Anytime. So,
but that's all we got for you at CoastalNoise.com. You can check out the rest of the podcast there. D'Iberville Crawfish Music Festival starts May 10th. I'll be playing around 1 o'clock. So come check it out. Support a good cause. All right, everybody. Good night.
Good night.